Gavelic, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
It's a special edition of the special edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. This is the advertiser, the South Australian takeover, the draft takeover of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. We're only days out from the big event, the first round on Wednesday night. This is Jordan Pinto back here in the studio, joined by Andrew Capel, AC. Big week, even bigger show.
Good afternoon. Obviously a massive year again for the South Australians in the draft, headlined by Jason Horne-Francis, who is probably the best teenage draft prospect I've seen come out of South Australia since the draft's been going. He's a phenomenal player, a great season, and of course his preliminary final league game against Glenelg when he kicked 3 goals, 3, could have kicked 6. 160 plus champion data ranking points. It was just an extraordinary performance. So he's top of the pops, but there's some other outstanding players from SA also in contention.
Indeed there is. We're going to run through the top prospects, the names that might surprise on Wednesday and Thursday night here, but also our special guest in the studio, State Academy coach Tony Bamford has given us up his time to come in and talk through the big names. Bangers, welcome.
G'day guys, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
And alongside him, AC mentioned Jason Horne-Francis, top of the pops, a few other big names. One we haven't spoken about as much this year, a difficult year for him with injury, but Nord's Cooper Murley. Cooper's in here, the studio with us, to talk through his season and what might pan out this week. Cooper, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, AC, you spoke about Jason and the country seemed to take notice a bit more of what we've been saying for a long time over here about him and just how good he is. Next in line, we'll start there. Nazaiah Wanganeen Miller, who, you know, does have some top 10 interest, some suitors inside that top 10, the Crows and the Power. That probably looks to be his window potentially on Wednesday night. You saw a lot of him playing footy at Glenelg, some senior footy. How do you see him? And then what do you see under that? I guess we'll throw to Tony as well, get his thoughts and the guys he thinks could come in after that.
Just on the side, he really grew as the season wore on, played some really good league footy for Glenelg late, played in the reserves, grand final win against Central District as well, where he had some good passages of play in that game. But he's just class, a tall wingman who can play through the centre square and also up forward. He's got an eye for goal, but his ball use is outstanding. Everyone knows I'm an Essendon fan. I'd be very happy for the Bombers to get Wanganeen Miller. They've got pick 11 at the moment. That'll drop back to perhaps 14. I think he'll fall in that region. Port Adelaide have the selection after Essendon, and if he's still there at that point, they must look very closely at him. So he's a gun with a great football pedigree. Then you've got the South Adelaide, you know, midfielders, Matty Roberts and Arlo Draper, who have had very good seasons, play some good league footy as well, so they'll be right in the mix for those top few selections from SA.
Got some questions on Matty Roberts for Tony a little bit later, but how do you see this crop starting, you know, the guys at the top and then, I guess, the depth of it in compared to the last couple of seasons?
Well, the depth is pretty similar, I think, to the last couple of years. A lot of midfielders and halfbacks in this group. A couple of key position players in Oscar Adams and probably you could probably stretch Jordan Lukak as well,
yep,
in that category. But yeah, we think, Sticks and I think, that it's pretty comparable to past years in terms of the number of talented players. But there is seems to be a lot of midfielders and halfback in this year's draft. And looking ahead to next year, we're quite excited by the talls in next year's draft, so it's going to change significantly, which is exciting.
And that's Harry Lemmy, obviously, I guess the biggest name for SA next year.
Yeah, Harry's had a breakout year playing school footy and then league level for Westies and played under 19 nationals for us as a key forward. And there's a couple other ruckmen who are equally as exciting, Isaac Keeler from North Adelaide, Will Verrill from South Adelaide, and Harry Barnett from Westies. So there's some big fellows getting around, and yeah, it's going to be exciting for us working with some tools.
How many players, I know it's hard to predict, but how many players from the Sandville do you think will get picked up in the obviously got the national draft and then the rookie draft after that.
It's really it's almost impossible to predict AC because we don't know how many picks are going to be. From what we're hearing, the general number is somewhere between 55 and 60, which is down on a normal year. Normally you get around 70, 75. We aim at the Sanford, we aim and to try and get 15% of the draft pool from SA. In the last couple of years, we've been well and truly above 15%, but that's probably due to the fact that our guys have been playing and haven't been impacted by the COVID situation as much as some of the other boys on the eastern states of Australia. So we're kind of hopeful in a selfish way that that helps some of our guys get drafted late over Victoria, who maybe hasn't played as much football. But I'd be very surprised if, given it, if it is going to be 55 to 60 picks, we should have 8 to 12 players picked, I think.
Can you run us through those names? I know it's hard for you to predict an order. You work more closely with these players than anybody in South Australia over the past couple of years. Who are those 8 to 12 that you're expecting to get drafted, and in what sort of order?
Well, I'm not going to give an order because it'll change late in the draft based on what every club needs and what their list, what the holes in their list. But we've already spoken about the four guys, the three boys from South Adelaide and obviously Nazir as well. Then you've got the young man sitting to my left here, Cooper. My opinion is that he should definitely be drafted. I'm hopeful that he's definitely drafted. If we put a line through his 2021... that he had this year here in SA based on two really unfortunate injuries, and we just looked at his performances as a 16 and a 17-year-old, there's no question he should be on an AFL list based on those 2 years. And I've said to AFL clubs in my meetings with them that if Cooper was in Victoria and had missed football through COVID, and you're assessing his ability based on what he did as a 16-year-old, where he was an All-Australian, played under 18 football here in SA as a 16-year-old and played league and senior football as a 17-year-old, he should definitely be drafted. He'd be in the top 40 players in Australia. But he's not. He's a South Australian, so we'll have to sit back and wait and see how that unfolds. But I'm hopeful that he gets a chance because he deserves it and he's more than capable. Other guys, Lewis Rayson, Jace Burgoyne, Oscar Adams, Alistair Lord, Shay Linky, James Willis, Zach Becker, Hugh Jackson, Harvey Harrison. Could keep going on and on. I mentioned Jordan Lukak at the start. He's a very raw, tall, key position, second ruck. New to the game. He has Zimbabwean heritage and he has missed a lot of football in the last 3 years. He has probably only played 20 games in the last 2.5 seasons of footy due to a serious leg injury. So there's plenty of upside in him as well.
He captained the Eagles to the under-18 premiership against Glenelg, a big upset win at Adelaide Oval as well.
Yeah, he did. It was great to see him bestowed the captaincy upon him as a kid who'd missed so much football the year before. They must have really high regards for him as a leader down there at the Eagles. And Shane Reardon is a fantastic coach and has done an awesome job for a number of years at Woodville West Torrens. Appointed him as captain, and Jordan stood up in the biggest day and kicked some goals.
James Willis, you mentioned there, has come up a few times in conversations we've had too. Obviously, an injury ruined the end of his season a little bit, like Cooper, obviously not as heavy. But how do you see him as a player, and what makes, I guess, there's a lot of clubs interested in him. What is it about him?
He's a powerful boy. Well, I shouldn't say boy. He's a powerful young man. And the way he plays, you can't help but notice him. I remember watching North Adelaide under 18s the middle of last year when James was just starting to establish himself in that side, and I wasn't there to watch James play. I was there to watch a few other boys play, and James just stood out because of the power in which he plays with. That modern AFL midfielder who can accelerate and power away from congestion and drive the ball forward, that's the way he plays. He's also got really, really good speed and intensity to hunt the opposition. And I know that while most of his good football here in the sample has been as a midfielder who's gone forward, I know that some AFL clubs have been watching him closely and checking his GPS data and his athletic profile, and there's a bit of thought that he may end up been a pressure forward at AFL level because of his attributes that he's got.
Cooper, an All-Australian under 16 player. At that point, you were considered, well, out from the draft, probably a top 10 pick. As Tony just mentioned, now we're hoping you go in the top 40. I think you played 4 games this year because of injury. Can you talk us through your season, the injuries you copped and how it unfolded?
Yeah, so obviously I, you know, started the year off like any other kid would, so completed a full pre-season and, you know, was feeling really fit and strong at the start of the year. So I completed a senior pre-season, so first couple of games of this year, so round one and round two, played in the reserves. So, yeah, obviously I haven't played too much senior footy before, so... yeah, it was good to have a crack at that and, you know, I guess kind of find my feet and, you know, it was good test at that point of, you know, where I was at as a footy player and obviously in terms of, you know, my strength and size. So, yeah, you know, I thought I performed reasonably well in those first 2 games, probably not as well as I could have, but, you know, still trying to adapt to them, you know, them sort of conditions. So then I had my training week with the Crows and then that was when I sustained my first injury. So I was competing in a contest with Matty Roberts down at the Crows and I was defending him. So as I went up to spoil it, came down and landed quite badly on my ankle. So I ended up rupturing 3 ligaments on the outside of my ankle and I partially tore 1 on the inside. So that was a 6-week stint on the sideline. So I'd never really done any sort of serious injury before. So that was really the first, you know, big chunk of footy that I'd, you know, ever miss. So yeah, I was fortunate enough to get over those 6 weeks and, you know, come back, I guess, stronger. And then I spoke to Jade Rawlings, our lead coach, at Nord at the time. And, you know, we decided that it was probably best that I go play some under-18s footy just to find a bit of form and confidence. So, yeah, I went back and, you know, started to pick up a little bit of form and certainly started to find a bit of confidence. You know, I was back playing a role that I guess I was more so used to, which was in the midfield, and still spending a little bit of time down forward just so I can develop that, you know, craft as a small forward. And, yeah, then coming in to play my 4th game against South Adelaide, 30 seconds in, I was tackled and landed on top of and dislocated my collarbone. So, yeah, I haven't played a game since then, which has probably been around about 18 weeks since that happened. So, but I was fortunate enough to, you know, probably about 2 weeks to 1.5 weeks left of the state program, I was, you know, able to get back into some, I guess, normality and do a tiny bit of contact training, which was really, really good. So I guess that gives me a bit of confidence coming into next year.
So how tough has that been in your draft year? I guess you would have entered the season very excited about having a good year and pushing your name right in front of recruiting scouts.
Yeah, look, it's been frustrating. I mean, you know, every kid would consider this to be their most important year of footy. And, you know, I was so excited for the start of this year, you know, just to try and play my best footy and, you know, leave no stone unturned. But, you know, I guess that's the risk you take when you play a contact sport. And, you know, I absolutely love this sport, so it's certainly not going to, you know, stop me from trying to develop in other areas. And I think, you know, in terms of injuries, it's provided me an opportunity this year, I guess, to learn, you know, about the game in other ways, you know, being able to watch it from an outside perspective. And, you know, at Nord, I was able to help out with our midfield group this year and learn a bit about that and also, you know, I guess learn a bit about coaching as well. So I've still been able to develop in so many ways, you know, regardless of whether I've been able to play or not.
Yeah, it's a real credit to you to embrace that injury and obviously, just expand on your game. What have, I assume that all 18 clubs have spoken to you, being such a talent. Is that correct? And also, what have they said about your year?
So I've spoken to 17 out of 18 clubs. So the only club I haven't spoken to is Brisbane. And I think, I guess, you know, regarding my season, a lot of it's been, you know, a lot of talks have been about my underage year last year. So I think, you know, obviously only playing 4 games this year, I haven't really been able to, I guess, provide a lot of vision and, I guess, gameplay for them to go and look at. So a lot of the, you know, I guess, general consensus has been off my footy last year. So a lot of clubs have just said really not to, you know, this is just a bit of a write-off year, like Bang has said. And yeah, to not get too down on myself, and you know, given I haven't played a lot of footy this year, you know, certainly doesn't mean I'm still not going to get picked up. And so yeah, obviously they've seen what I can do last year, which is I guess a bit of reassurance, and I guess really nice to hear from those clubs.
Who do you bury for? Because you've been strongly linked to Adelaide.
I'm actually a Carlton supporter.
Okay.
But yeah, I was an Adelaide boy younger when I was growing up, and then somehow ended up changing to Carlton as Dad grew up in Victoria. So, and he's back for Carlton all his life as well.
How's the interest been from the SA clubs that you've spoken to 17, but how's it been with Port and the Crows?
Yeah, it's been really good. I mean, you know, if you were to ask my mum and, you know, grandparents out there, all Adelaide supporters, so they've been, I mean, if my name was to be read out on draft nights in one of those clubs, they'd be jumping up and down. But, yeah, I guess it's nice to have, you know, I guess some sort of interest from your home state club. I mean, if the opportunity was there, I'd absolutely love to stay here. But I guess, you know, it's so uncertain and undecided on the night that anything can happen. But yeah, it's been nice to have those, I guess, that sort of interest from the home state clubs.
And you're an exciting midfielder, small forward. Do you base your game on someone like Zach Butters at Port Adelaide?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the start of the year, you know, people started giving me some comparisons and saying that I do play a little bit like Zach Butters. So from the start of the year, that's someone who I really try to focus on throughout this year. But unfortunately, he missed a lot of this year due to, you know, injuries as well. So sort of had to look elsewhere on, you know, someone very similar to him. So a lot of this year I've focused on Shea Bolton from Richmond. So, you know, that elusive pressure small forward who can also get up the ground. And we saw late this year that he started getting, I guess, short periods in the midfield as well. So obviously still very light frame, but, you know, his speed and agility and I guess his explosiveness from the contest is what allowed him to play that inside role.
Tony, is that the sort of roles you see Cooper playing at the next level?
Yeah, I think he's picked a couple of really good AFL players to model his game on in those two guys. See, I remember when we were looking at the squad early in his under 17 year, I saw some comparisons to what Cooper was doing then to what Connor Rosie did at the same age for North Adelaide. So I still see some similarities in the way Cooper plays and the way Connor plays. So yeah, those guys, he's definitely a midfielder who can play forward. I don't think he's a forward, he goes in the midfield. I think he's more of a midfielder naturally. But you know, he's got really unbelievable clean hands, and when what he does well is he breaks away from contest, and his foot skills are elite. That's your modern day AFL midfielder right there.
Someone might pick up a steal.
I think so. Yeah.
If Cooper goes, you know, 30 backwards, that just might be a steal for one of the clubs, given that you missed so much footy this year.
Yeah, there's always that. There's always great picks late in the draft. It's not an exact science, as we all know. But maybe in 5 years' time, we'll sit back and we'll go, okay, well, someone got Cooper very cheaply 5 years ago.
Speaking of cheaply, another one that potentially could slide too, mentioned him before, Matty Roberts, seems to be dividing opinion around the place a little bit. You know, you spoke to us earlier in the year and talked about how smart he is as a footballer. But, you know, I guess the question marks over his athleticism and his legs, I guess, compared to some other prospects in the pool, which, you know, rightly or wrongly, clubs are saying. How do you see Matty Roberts, and, you know, do you agree with, you know, that assessment that, you know, that's going to push him further back a bit?
It's rubbish. He's a footballer.
Yeah.
He needs to be on an AFL list.
We agree. Yeah, by the way.
No, I've heard the same thing, and I've had some heated conversations with some AFL recruiters regarding Matty, and he's too smart, too good, too clean to not be a very good AFL footballer. He doesn't look like – he hasn't got the body that a Draper and a Roberts – sorry, Draper and a Horn and a James Willis, those kind of guys have got athletic bodies. Poor old Robbo hasn't got that, but it'll come. But what you do when you look at him play live is you go, wow, how did he get there? Because – 30 seconds ago, he looked like he was out of the play. He reads the game quicker than anyone in this draft pool, from SA at least. And when you look at his GPS numbers on a Monday morning, you go, well, hang on a minute. Those numbers are as good as what Travis Boak runs at AFL level. So, yep, there's no need to hesitate, in my opinion. He's a very, very good footballer who runs hard enough to play AFL next year.
So is he the player that you said you had heated discussions with AFL recruiting scouts? Is he the player that's sort of been polarising them, the difference between how you rate him compared to the way they look at him?
Not all clubs are questioning Matt's athletic stuff. Some clubs are really keen on Matt and have spoken around him as one of their first two selections if they get that point. So it's not universal, that opinion. It's split in some clubs. I can't think of other players in the draft. Maybe Arlo Draper, his mate down at South Adelaide. Arlo didn't have a great Nationals by his own standards. But again, his form as an under 17 last year was absolutely elite. So Arlo could go anywhere from late first round to fourth round, I think. So it's really going to be interesting to sit back on the night and see how all that pans out.
You, Adam, I don't pick order, but you think that Matty Roberts is in that, should be in that top 10 conversation?
No, I don't think he's a top 10 pick in Australia. He's certainly in the top four in SA. But if Matt Roberts isn't picked up in the first 30, I'll be very surprised.
And you made the comparison with Connor, with Cooper. Who's Matty Roberts' sort of AFL comparison? You said he's not the athletic type, but he's just so smart. Clever.
Yeah, he's been one that I've found hard to sort of find a prototype of the way he plays. I think he has himself down as a Marcus Pontempelli type, which, to be honest with you, about 50% of them like to be like the Bont.
He did say that at the combine.
Did he? I don't know whether I'd actually agree with that type. I think he's as good outside as he is inside, and I think Bont's more inside than outside. When I remember back in Steel Sidebottom playing for Collingwood back in when he was flying, he was playing forward, then the next game he was playing in the midfield, then he'd play off half back and then he'd go forward again. I can see Matt Roberts playing that kind of role for a club somewhere. Not next year, but once he's found his feet as an AFL midfielder, I would not be surprised to see Matt end up playing half back or even deep forward at times. He's just so smart. It'd be a waste to just have him plonked in the midfield.
He has that running capacity that the Sidebottom has because he can cover an enormous amount of territory.
Steele was absolutely elite in endurance and Matt's not at that level. He's still got above average endurance, but it's not anywhere at high end.
Speaking about versatility, back to Arlo Draper, where you obviously use him in different positions at the Carnival and he's played multiple roles in his junior career, where do you see him at the next level? And is that some of the feedback you've had from clubs about they might struggle a bit to place him in a certain role at the next level?
Oh, look, Arlo's been thrown around from position to position to position since the age of 15. And I've seen him be the best player on the ground in all three areas, as a defender, as a midfielder, and as a forward. But credit to South Adelaide and to the under 18 coach down there, Mark Clayton, decided late last year that for Arlo's benefit, we needed to settle him down as one of three positions. Is he a defender, a forward, or a midfielder? So Mark schooled him up and placed him as a midfielder in the under 18 comp late last year. And that's where he's played his best footy, and that's where he's probably most dangerous, unless he gets a really good matchup one-on-one inside the forward 50, he can really do some damage there. But that wouldn't happen at AFL level. That's not going to happen. You can get away with that here in the sample under 18, but I think going into the AFL system, Arlo will be best suited to playing as a mid who can go forward or a forward who can play mid at this stage. It's going to be exciting to watch because he's a little bit unpredictable, Arlo. He's got really fast feet, likes to carry the ball and find holes in defence, and very, very good overhead for his size as well. So Yeah, I'm really excited to see how he embraces the AFL world and where he gets settled.
We'll talk more about SA's top prospects. We'll also get Cooper Murley's thoughts on his SA teammates after this short break. All right, Cooper, we've listened to Tony talk about some of these guys and you've spoken about yourself, but what do you think about some of your SA teammates that have been spoken about a lot by us? How do you see some of them? And I guess, what can you tell us about them? What do you like about them as players?
Yeah, obviously, you know, I rate, you know, each and every one of my teammates that were involved in the state program, I guess, very, very highly. You know, obviously, they wouldn't be in the spot they're in if they weren't touted that highly. So, yeah, obviously, you know, people like, I guess, Jason Horne-Francis, Arlo Draper, Matty Roberts, you know, everyone, I guess, sees what they can do on a football field and it's, you know, absolutely unbelievable. But I think behind closed doors, you know, they're, you know, myself and, you know, the other teammates get to see what they're really like and, you know, along with great footballers, they're also really great people as well. So, you know, I think every AFL club sort of looks at the player first and then obviously, you know, the type of character that they'd be bringing into their football club. So, yeah, you know, I've obviously been able to develop really, I guess, good and close relationships with those sort of guys over the last couple of years, you know, being involved in the state programs. You know, other people I've probably come, you know, close with is Jace Bergwin and Blaine O'Loughlin as well. Usually on the quieter side, those two boys, but I guess I think more so this year than anything, they probably started to come out their shell a little bit and, you know, really show the boys what they're all about. And, yeah, so like I said, as well as being great footballers, behind closed doors, you also get to see how great of people they are.
Just on Blaine, obviously he's not been nominated as a Crows Academy prospect for this draft. Doesn't mean he won't find a home. Do you think he deserves to find one?
Blaine is one of the guys that I'm a little bit worried about. There's a little bit of AFL interest, but I just get the feel that probably not not enough for what I've seen. I've watched Blaine closely for 2 years, and in my opinion, he deserves a chance to go into the AFL system and forge a career at that level. But I am getting a bit of a feeling from AFL clubs that they're a bit concerned about his size and height, or lack of height, given that he plays back. I've countered that argument by saying, you know, he could play as a high defender and not unlike the role that Christian Salem plays and Caleb Daniel play, Darcy Byrne-Jones, that kind of type set-up role, high as a high defender. So, yeah, I'm hopeful for Blaine. He gets a chance at least as a rookie. But, yeah, I was disappointed to hear the Crows weren't going to go down that path, but I'm hopeful that another club has seen enough in Blaine to give him a chance. So he was one of our best and most consistent performers at national level this year across our four games. And, you know, he's done all he can possibly do. If it doesn't happen, he can put his head on the pillow saying, well, I've given him my best shot. And if it doesn't happen, he'll go back and work with North Adelaide inside a really good program with Serge and the other coaches down there, and I'm sure he'll take his footy to another level and maybe get a chance as a mature age.
Another player the Crows overlooked and as an NGA prospect was Isaiah Dudley. We've spoken to you several times during the year. You said he's one of the most talented players you've ever come across, but obviously his work ethic has been questioned. Will he find an AFL home, or is there not enough interest in him from what you've seen as well?
Oh, I see. I don't know the answer to that question, whether he'll find a home. Undeniable talent. His hands are as clean as anyone you'll see. Unfortunately for Duds, he just hasn't picked up the concept of being semi-professional, let alone professional. And he admits it. He understands. He came around my house for... I promised him a free feed after the 2K time trial when he got under 8 minutes... And I had to pay that debt last week and had him around with Naz, and it was a good chat. And he knows he hasn't done the work off field as much as he probably should have in the past 12 or probably even 2 years, to be honest with you. So Duds has to decide how far he wants to take his footy. Like, it's the ball's in his court. He has to decide to do the work. And if he ever does do the work and commit to an elite lifestyle and get his off field sorted, look out, because he'll take the SNFL by storm, first and foremost, and then AFL clubs will have to reconsider where they go with duds. If an AFL club takes him this year, then that'll be fantastic. But he's going to have to adapt to a really high pressured environment very, very quickly.
And you said you had Nasiah Wanganeen-Miller also around for a meal. He has grown before our eyes this year. How highly do you rate him in the SA draft crop?
Yeah, well, he eats a lot of lasagna, I know that much. And he didn't leave much on the plate. Now he's come from a long way back, and when we look at all the names on the magnet board and we sort of go back, try and take our minds back to where they were a year and a half ago, Naz was right down one end of the board. So he's jumped in a lot of magnets, and he's had a breakout 18 months, and full credit to Naz. He's had a really, really good 12 months on and off the field. He's a star. He's going to be a star, an absolute star. Beautiful young man, very respectful, has great values, really, really strong family network around him. I feel really lucky to have got to know him as a young man, and absolutely blessed to have coached him.
He's a nice size too, good height, putting on some muscle, but an elite kick and decision maker.
Yeah, he'll end up being a similar size to, maybe even a bit taller than Wayne Miller at the Crows, and he's going to fill out really well. I know he's tall and lanky and lean now, but there's plenty of muscle mass there, and he'll just another 5 kilos, and he'll be ready to stand the AFL intensity, no problems at all.
And the man we haven't touched on too much so far, number one pick to North Melbourne, clearly Jason Horne-Francis. I said he's the best kid I've seen come through the system in the draft year from SA. How high did you rate him?
Yeah, it's hard to argue against that. In my time, we've had some fantastic players come through. Isaac Rankin and Lukosius and Schoenberg and the likes. Jace is the best that we've had in my time. I think Brendan Phillips labelled him a couple of weeks ago as a one in 10 year type player. Yeah, he's done it all. Sometimes a player will leave a little bit of a question mark in some aspect of the game, whether it's offense, defense, ball in dispute, compliance, off field, whatever. Jace just ticks all the boxes. When his team's got the football, he excels. When the other team's got the football, he excels. And when the football needs to be won, that's when he really excels, because he's an absolute competitor. He's tough as nails. He has no consideration for his well-being in contest. And he is—he's a leader without seeking leadership traits. If that makes sense to you, the way you can't help but not be inspired by being around Jace. And he's not a vocal leader. He doesn't rant and rave and get up in team meetings and have a lot to say. He's more of a lets his actions do the speaking for him. Again, like Naz, he's got a great family around him to keep his feet on the ground, and this is going to be really, really important now for Jace, because he's going to be spoken about by a lot of people, and people are going to want to take some of his time, and I'm sure his parents Trish and Fabian will keep his feet firmly planted on the ground.
Is that true, Cooper? Hard not to be inspired when you're around him?
Absolutely. Like Bangers said, he in a contest has, I guess, no consideration of his well-being. And, I've been fortunate enough to actually witness that myself. I remember back in the under-16 state champs of the dying minutes of the WA game, and, it was one or two goals in it, and, the ball just kept coming back into our defence, and this kid just kept jumping back with the flight, like no concept of what was ahead of him, just kept jumping up for the ball, and pretty much single-handedly saved us in that game. So yeah, 100%, it is really hard not to be inspired by what that kid does on a football field.
Have you run into him at training? Because he packs a fair punch, I reckon.
No, I haven't really ran into him at training. I've only actually ever played against him once, and it was quite even. He got me holding the ball once, and I got him holding the ball once. So, besides that, I've never actually, or thankfully, never had to run into him.
What's he like off the field? We've heard about always like on the field. You hang around with him a bit more than a lot of people do. What's he like as a bloke?
Yeah, I'd say him on a football field and him off the field are two completely different people, I'd say. You know, when he's at training and, you know, game day, he's so switched on, it's not even funny. But then, you know, come training, he's just very laid back, very relaxed. And, yeah, he's a very approachable person, I guess very caring person, obviously. Through a number of leadership roles, you know, he's become very caring for his teammates and, yeah, always puts them before anyone else. So, yeah, from the time that I've spent with him, he's really approachable, very caring and, yeah, just a really nice person to be around.
With you've been through the draft process. I said Nasiah Wanganeen-Miller, I said last week that I think Gold Coast asked him to write a book about his life and break it down into chapters. Both Tony and Cooper, do the clubs overcook the interview process a little bit? Are you guys asked to do too much?
I've heard a lot about it in the past, I guess, recruiters asking a lot of weird questions and obviously like what you just mentioned, but I reckon this year I've been very fortunate. I haven't really been asked any sort of weird questions, I guess. I know in Melbourne earlier on in the year for the academy, Gold Coast were asking some of the players, you know, what do you not want us to know about you? So word got around pretty quickly and all the boys were trying to think of an answer that they could give. And when I got to my meeting with the Gold Coast, they asked me what was something that you want us to know about you. So I think that was probably a lot easier to answer than, you know, telling them something I didn't want them to know about me.
Tony, what are your thoughts on the processes that the players get put through? To me, I mean, you need to know about a player's character and you see their footy and they talk to you about all of that. I don't know, sometimes from an outside looking, they might overcook it a little bit, but...
Oh, look, every club has their own processes to go through and you have to respect that and it's part of the industry. Some, talking to the players, some clubs are very, very laid back around it, that conversation, and some clubs like to create a stressful environment to see how the player responds. So, yeah, it's not for me to critique how clubs go about it. It is what it is and we prepare our players to deal with it.
You've spoken brilliantly about a number of players today, but I'm going to ask you, you want as many South Australians chosen as possible, obviously. But is there one player, one or two players that you're barracking for any particular reason because of who they are as people or what the journey they've been through?
Yes, I have got a favourite. His name's Max Litster from Woodville West Torrens. He's our overager. He won our MVP from the champs this year, which is four coaches plus the chairman select a vote 5-4-3-2-1, I think it was from memory. And Max won that MVP award this year. Max is from York Peninsula, country zone, Woodville West Torrens. Max was a midfielder in his under-18 year at the Eagles and Shane Reardon, again, is his coach. And we spoke about Max a little bit in his 18 year, but he was never really good enough to be a state midfielder or considered for that role. And then the Eagles, Jade Sheedy, decided to play him half-back in the reserves at Woodville West Torrens. And I was at Thebe Oval at the start of the year watching Blaine O'Loughlin play for North Adelaide and Hugh Jackson was playing and just wandered across on a Friday night in, must have been late February or early March, and I couldn't not but notice Max just dominating playing half back for the Woodville West Torrens. And I've gone, that's Litster, how come he's playing back? He's normally a midfielder. But I was really impressed with what I saw then, and that's when his magnet went back on the board for me to be considered as a 19-year-old this year. And he picked himself. His form was really, really good, really strong coming into the national champs. And speaking to Sheeds, they were really happy with how he was going and really supportive of him being in the pathway program. And speaking to Max, he was absolutely stoked and a bit surprised that we picked him initially. But he was great. He played his first game for us, we played him high defender and we played Blaine behind him as a deep defender. And Max was very, very good in game one. In game two, we flipped it. We got Blaine up high and put Max on the small forward closest to goal, and that's when Max just blossomed. So he's a role player. He's not like Cooper, who is a accumulator. Cooper, you know, when he's going well, averages 25 to 35 possessions a game. Max isn't that kind of player. Max is a defender who likes to take a forward out of the game and then chip in offensively when he can. So those role players are really important at AFL level, and speak to any coach, you need those guys in your team. They build your team for you. So what I've seen in Max this year, I've seen a hard-working young man. He's doing an apprenticeship. He rock up the training with his work boots on. He'd been working his butt off all day. Come out and train the house down, run really hard, very professional, very diligent, great time management skills, quite mature for his age as well. So the AFL environment wouldn't be a shock to him. He'd be ready for it. So I'm kind of hopeful that an AFL club has seen enough to give him a chance to see how that unravels at AFL level. If it doesn't happen this year, I'm pretty certain and I'm guaranteed that AFL clubs will be watching him closely again next year.
We'll take one more break here on the Advertiser Draft Takeover of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. We'll finish off with a few other left field names who could surprise during the week. All right, a couple more for both of you, I guess. This one mentioning before, your Nord teammate, Alistair Lord, one who was injured early in the year after a pretty good start too, and you sort of rushed him back into the state setup when he was ready to go. Cooper, before we ask Tony what he thinks, what do you like about Alistair as a player and what appeals do you think? Obviously, we've seen some highlights, but yeah, what have you seen that you like?
I reckon the most appealing thing from Lordy is, his confidence and his dash off of halfback. I don't think I've ever played with or seen anyone as confident and willing to take on the footy as much as he does. I remember coming into the last game of the year, he was a little bit injured, but, decided to play and, he was, pretty much playing off one leg the whole game and, he's still just, attack the footy just like he usually would when he's on both legs. And I think it was at one stage he got the ball from half back and, took on about three players, had about four bounces and closed in on 50 and set sail for homers. So, I'd say that's, his dash and his confidence is one of the most appealing things from him.
Yeah, I've just noted any sort of gap he sees, he'll try to take it and often he gets pretty through much. It. Tony, what do you like about him? You go him straight back in when he was ready to go?
Well, we didn't expect him to play at all after that. We did his quad in that Intercol game down at Sacred Heart. And I was watching that game and I saw him hurt himself and I thought, oh, he'll come off the ground here because there's other things on his mind at the moment in terms of nationals. But to his credit, he stayed out in the field. He didn't want to let his teammates down. I remember talking to him about it the following week and... as much as you'd want from a physical well-being point of view, you'd like him to come off the ground, but I love the fact that he didn't want to leave his teammates alone out there on the field and wanted to stay. So that was impressive from Lordy in that regard. It did cost him some games, that some extra time off the ground. And when we were planning for the second part of the Nationals after game one, we had his name off the board because he was on the long-term injury list and still engaged in our program because we were trying to get him ready to do the combine testing, the state combine testing. So we thought we'll keep him on board. He can rehab with us and get ready for the combine testing. And he recovered so quickly and so well. He was so diligent with his physio and rehab that about 2 weeks before the Allies game, he rejoined full training. And I remember speaking to our physio and Lordy going, where are we at with this? Like, what are we doing? Are we preparing you for combine or do you want to try and play still? And he was adamant that he didn't want to be ruled out of any games. He was going to keep doing his rehab and our physio ticked him off and said, no, he's done all he needs to do from a recovery viewpoint. If he gets through training and he wants to play, then we'll consider him at selection. So we did that against the Allies game and initially we thought we'd give him a taste and see how it unfolds. We had an extra player that day, so it was easy for us to manage his game time. And boy, oh boy, he got back into it straight away, playing half back, real strong energy and bounce on rebound on turnover. He plays a bit like Adam Saad does when he's up and about. And that goal that Cooper was referring to that had Adam Saad written all over it, didn't it? So unbelievable fast feet. Alistair likes to take on the opposition, but probably the thing that I like most about him, he's good one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Quite often you'll find defenders who can run and join in offense, but when it comes time to win their contest, they're not good at it. So, but Alistair's proven that he can win one-on-one and break even when necessary, when needed, and then his offense speaks for itself. So, yeah, really excited about the fact that he got a chance to play those games late, and, yeah, I think that's sparked some interest from AFL clubs.
So clubs have asked the question of him to you?
Yeah, most definitely. There's been a lot of inquiries
yep.
because he's not a well-known South Australian player mm. like a Draper and a Robertson and a Horn and Murley and those kind of blokes. There's a lot of interest around Alistair.
One more to finish off. Hugh Jackson, you know, exploded out the blocks in the under-18s. Was probably one that didn't have a consistent impact at the carnival in comparison to early season form, where which did teeter away a little bit when he went back too. Has he done enough? Do you think the clubs like what he can offer? Do they like his weapons, what he can offer offensively enough, do you think?
I think all 18 clubs would like his weapons.
Yeah.
He's when he's playing well, and I'm referring to sort of the second half of the Sandfall under 18 competition last year and also yeah. the first half of this year, he was in the top one or two or three midfielders in the competition. Very, very good, clean hands, good vision, good awareness of what's around him. Can play inside, can play outside, and he's elite kick. So there was a lot to like, and all AFL clubs have noticed that part of his game. For whatever reason, Hugh didn't have a great champs, and he didn't play anywhere near to the level that he would have wanted to and what we expected from him as well. So that was a shame, but that can happen. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to be up and play at the top level for so long. He'd been playing so well since the middle of his under-17 year. I guess we had to anticipate that his form would drop at some stage. Unfortunately for him, it just happened to be in the Nationals.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're hopeful that he's put a portfolio together over 2 years to suggest that he's a quality midfielder who can play both inside and outside. Whether he's done enough to get onto an AFL list, we'll have to just wait and see.
How's your body now?
From an injury point of view, it's probably as, you know, it's 100%. Like I mentioned earlier, I was able to, train full contact in the last, 1.5 to 2 weeks of the state program. So, you know, by doing that, that's certainly given me, enough confidence going into next year that I can, you know, hit the ground running.
Yeah, Oscar Adams, Tony, obviously a player of significant interest. How high did you rate him?
Yeah, again, he's come from a long way back because he still lives down at Mount Gambier. He's doing year 12 down there this year and travelling back and forth to play for Glenelg. He's played ruck for Glenelg in the under-18s. We got him up to play in our Futures game late last year. We played him centre-half back with the long-term view that he'd play centre-half back for us at national level this year, which he did. He's got enormous upside. He's never been involved in a talent pathway program full-time, been based down at Mount Gambier. So when you look at the upside that will come along with his the fact that he'll go into a full-time environment, the potential that he's got is astronomical, really. At our level, at national level, he proved to be able to beat and play on the best tall forwards for WA, and some of those tall forwards for WA are touted as top 40 selections, and Oscar played really well on both of those guys at various times during the champs. Very competitive young man, keeps life pretty simple, being a country lad, Oscar, but he's one that AFL clubs have been really interested in to know a lot more about Oscar, because there's not much information on him because he hasn't played much footy at Sandfall level. But what he did in the Nationals this year was really, really impressive for a guy, given that he's, you know, he wasn't even able to train with us full time.
Very strong in the air, I guess, with his height and then his reach too, I guess, when he showed that late in the champs.
Yeah, I think playing ruck down home, back home in the country leagues, has allowed him to play a kick behind the ball and judge ball in flight. His marking craft is really, really good.
Yeah.
He's still learning about best position as a defender based on where the ball's coming in from. He'll get that eventually. But he's competitive. He hates being beaten, and that's a trait that all AFL clubs are looking for.
During the year, Tony, how many times have you spoken to AFL clubs? Obviously hundreds of times, but are they into your ear regularly?
Yes, some more than others. Like in the last month, I've probably had Zoom or face-to-face meetings with 16 of the 18 AFL clubs. But yeah, throughout the course of the year, you'll generally run into a few of them at the games and have a conversation. It might be about the current talent pool, or it could be about guys who got drafted the year before who were at their club now, just trying to work out how they're going. So I remember talking to Sydney a lot this year about Dylan Stevens and Will Gould. So we always cross paths with them, and sometimes it'll turn into an in-depth conversation around the talent. Sometimes it's just a g'day, how you going type stuff. But part of my job is to communicate to the AFL clubs, and that's what I'm here for. I'm here to develop a really good pathway and work with the players individually to get the best out of them, and then transfer that information to the AFL club so they can make good decisions.
Well, we appreciate your time, Tony, here today. And Cooper, thanks for coming in as well. Big week for you. Wish you all the best on Wednesday, or hopefully Thursday night. And we look forward to watching you grow if you do get a chance next year. But AC, interesting few days ahead, but nice to talk to these guys.
Yeah, another bumper crop of SA players, as Tony touched on. It's hard to get the position in the draft of some of them, given so many Victorians didn't play a lot of footy this year. And we know the draft of Victorian clubs is always a bias towards Victorians, yep. But there's some outstanding talent in South Australia. So, yeah, again, good luck, Cooper. I'm sure you'll get picked up somewhere.
Thank you very much.
I'd love it to be by Essendon, but we'll see. You're a great kid, but, yeah, good luck to all the SA prospects.
And that's why we do this show, I guess, as well. We want to fight back against the Vic bias sometimes. But plenty of draft content on advertiser.com.au over the next few days. We're going to go over the top prospects again. The Phantom Draft will be live as well. And you can follow live on Wednesday and Thursday. And you can follow live Wednesday and Thursday too. And Fox Footy, the only place you can watch it on TV every pick. So we'll see you all next year.